Open your Bible, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Here's Schofield Bible, page 252. Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Beginning with verse 12, we'll read through verse 24. Once again, in your Schofield Bible, page 252. We'll read the verses responsively. And may we all please stand for the reading of the Word of God. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy, that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them, and I will spend mine arrows upon them. And let's finish together on the 24th. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. Let's pray. Father, of course, we need what's going to be preached tonight. The sad thing is that there are many who don't know how much they do need what's preached. Help us to somehow realize that there's nothing more important in all the world going on tonight than what's going on here. Help us to realize that we are at a wonderful advantage to have a church like this, and a preacher like our preacher. Well, Father, we're blessed, but of those whom thou dost bless, there is much expected. Help us tonight, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, of course, tonight the message will be more brief than usual because we're late. The Lord's Supper night is always that way. But let me assure you that we will dismiss. And so don't you worry about it all. We will dismiss. I want to read you a verse tonight that to me is one of the most shocking verses in all the Bible. Just one little line. And shall burn under the lowest hell. Did you hear that? I ask you please to put your pens and pencils up. No taking notes. Preaching service, not classroom. Listen to that again. And shall burn under the lowest hell.
Cemeteries. Down in Tennessee. Go by a little chapel where they have services for dogs. And a cemetery behind the chapel. We had a dog named Fritz. Miss Howes is not here. I told her one day, I wish you loved that me as much as you loved that dog, but she said she did. He died. And she said, "Jack, would you? I can't stand to see him buried. Would you give him a good burial?" But sure. Would you believe the Gary City Dump? Now, if you want to have a funeral service for your dog, okay. But praise God, you ought to jump up and down and say, "Glory to God, the dogs have it better today than we used to have it in America." Have a spell and shout and say, "Well, glory to God for His blessings to me." Dog beds and quilts and blankets, comforters, air-conditioned dog houses. People, rich people, putting their dogs in their wills. I'm not kidding, it's in the paper. Willing so much money to a dog. Won't belong to dogs that have credit cards, bank accounts. Hospitals for dogs. Doggy sitters. And brother, as long as I live and breathe, and as long as I have lived and breathed, these two lips you see will never touch a dog's mouth. Brother, I thank God I'm a male man. I'm not a dogosexual. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the dogs in this age have it better than our forefathers did. And yet, here we are complaining. And complaining. And complaining. And complaining. I'm not asking you to return to the old days. I'm asking you to quit complaining and praise God for the new days. What a verse. What a verse. Shall burn under the lowest hell. My God shall provide all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God knows where you live. He knows what is best for you. And you live in the most blessed nation on this earth, in the most blessed generation this earth has ever seen. And the worst conditions in this room tonight will be in the top 5% of the whole world. I don't know what you're going to do. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Every time I enjoy something, I'm going to think back when I didn't have it. I'm going to think back the first time I ever had it. Got a sermon I preach on this around the country. Preached it here months and maybe a couple of years ago. Every time I eat an ice cream cone, I go to Waxahachie, Texas, where I ate my first ice cream cone at the age of 10. Every time I put on my shoes in the morning, and I lie not, I go back to the outlet shoe store when I was 14 years old, when the government, the WPA, bought me the first pair of shoes I ever owned that were my own shoes. Every time I eat a hamburger or a cheeseburger, I go back to a little restaurant on Hobson Street where when I was 14 years old, I ate my first hamburger or cheeseburger. The other night we had pimento cheese sandwiches. I had one late at night. I sat at the Coulter's house across the street when I was 11 years of age, 3936 Lindley Drive, ate my first pimento cheese sandwich. I'm not going to go through this life without thanking God for what God has done for me. I'm not going to go through this life and enjoy the blessings of Almighty God. Look at there. I have a nice suit. Tom Neal bought this suit for me. I have a nice suit. I have a white shirt and have several of them.
I've got a tie that I think matches this suit. I'll get in the car tonight. Turn the heater on if I need it, the air conditioner on if I need it. And I'll drive in a decent car. I'll go home and sleep in a good bed tonight. God's been good to me. And by the way, He's been good to you. And I don't care what sin you commit. I don't care how deep in sin you go. You'll never commit a sin that displeases Almighty God like the sin of kicking. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And God goes down and lists all the things He did because of it. And then God says, that's cause of the hottest hell. The hottest hell. Next time you wrap your phylacteries around you and your pharisaical robe of righteousness around you, self-righteousness, and look down at some dirty sinners, look and see if you complain lately. And let me remind you that to God, that's about as wicked and as vile a sin. You're saying to God, I don't like your accommodations for me. I don't like what you fed me. I don't like how you've clothed me. Jeshurun. Jeshurun. Waxed fat and kicked. God said, that will cause burning in the lowest hell. Now, if you're saved tonight, you can't go to hell. But if God gives that kind of punishment to those who are lost because of complaining and kicking, though they waxed fat, I'll promise you at the judgment seat of Christ, complainers are way down on the list of God's rewards. Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to be a grateful people. Rejoice in the goodness of our God. Sounds like to me that some are going to burn more than others in hell. I want you to listen carefully as I talk to you. The title of my sermon is The Hottest Hell of All. My text is that verse, but Jeshurun, the Bible dictionary pronounced it Jeshurun. My Bible pronounced it Jeshurun. So when nobody knows, I call it Jeshurun. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. And thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him. Oh, listen to that. He forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. I'll be brief. You listen carefully. Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. And bless this unworthy messenger who tries to proclaim what he's supposed to say tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, let me get my microphone here. Here are some people in the Bible to whom and about whom some of the strongest language you'll ever read in the Bible is given. I cannot quite understand what it means, but it says God abhorred them. I don't think that means God abhors the soul of any man. I think God abhorred the way they lived. That word abhorred is a strong word for the word hatred. It says God abhorred them. These people were so wicked, the Bible says that God hid His face. Are you listening? God hid His face from them. They're called a froward people. That word froward means uncontrollable. Please do not write while I'm talking. Please put your pens up. Why don't you just do what I say and let me, and trust me. I think I know how to help you, but I can't help you if you're sitting there like you're in a classroom somewhere. These people were froward, which means uncontrollable. They could not be controlled. They would not be controlled. These people were so bad that God said there was a fire that kindled in His anger. God was burning up with anger. You heard somebody say, that burns me up. That's exactly what God is saying here. God is saying that I abhor these people. They burn me up. They're uncontrollable. God sent wild beasts among them and punished them with wild beasts. Likewise, he sent poisonous snakes and punished them with serpents and poisonous snakes. Bible said he sent arrows toward them. That means he sent other armies to attack them. But the strongest statement, listen to this, the strongest statement that I've ever heard in the Bible or read in the Bible said about any people, it said, shall burn under the lowest hell. Did you hear that? Here are the people to whom the hottest hell, for whom the hottest hell is reserved, shall burn under the lowest hell or the hottest hell. Now, if the unsaved people who commit this sin burn in the hottest hell, then wouldn't you think that the saved people would receive the least rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? Because this obviously is the worst sin that man can commit on the face of the earth, because God did not say they'd just go to hell or go to a hot hell. God said they would go to the hottest hell. Now, what is this sin? Is this sin drunkenness? No, drunkenness is a bad sin. And the liquor traffic in America is one of the wickedest, most vile things in this country. We got folks trying to figure out how to stamp out AIDS while automobiles are killing people because of drunken drivers all over America. And it's a dirty sin. But that's not the sin that God said would send somebody to the hottest hell. What is this sin? Is this sin dope addiction? No. Dope addiction is wicked and vile. It would not be so prevalent in America if the dirty rock music industry were outlawed in our country. But no, dope addiction is not that sin that sends somebody to the hottest hell. What is this sin? Is it murder? No, it isn't murder. Is it stealing? No, it isn't stealing. Is it homosexuality? No, it's not even that. Though in Romans chapter 1, we're told that that homosexuality is the last sin that a nation commits before God gives them up. And it's one of the wickedest. See, it's one of the sins that attacks the family unit. And that attacks the home, and that's the basis of society. And God hates homosexuality with a passion. And God says, I'll give them up, I'll give them up. And you little queers sitting here tonight, I want to remind you that you are sinning against Almighty God, and you're going to face God for it. And it's not a choice of a lifestyle. It's a dirty, wicked, rotten, stinking, filthy, vile, putrid sin. Filthy. But that is not the sin to which God says the person will go to the hottest hell. What about child abuse? Now, if you mean by child abuse, spanking the child, that's silly. The Bible says you're supposed to spank a child when it deserves a spanking, and that's silly. But I'm talking about child abuse. I'm talking about incest. You know, that's so wicked. I cannot comprehend anything any worse than for a father to sexually molest his own child. But that's not the sin he's talking about. What is this wicked sin to which the Bible confines those who commit it to the hottest hell? Simply this. Jeshurun waxed fat, but kicked. That's the summary of it all. Jeshurun waxed fat, but kicked. Listen to me. What is fat in the Bible? It means plenty. It means luxury. It means good food. It means peace. It means the blessings of God in a positive way. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. That's all it says. That's all it says. These people did not remember the God that created them. And the Bible says to them, if they're unsaved, are you listening to me? Will be the hottest hell of all. Let me remind you in the Bible of how bad this matter of ingratitude is. Know also, in the last time, the day's perilous time shall come. Now get this. Get this list of sins. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady,
high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And right in the middle of that list of sins is the word unthankful. Now you listen to me, and you listen carefully. This matter of ingratitude to Almighty God, to God, is one of the wickedest, if not the wickedest sin that a person can commit. I mean, you drink God's water, enjoy God's sunshine, eat God's food, live on God's green earth, and gripe because God doesn't give you what you think you ought to give. There's nothing in this world that disgusts God. You sometimes look over and see that awful plague that God cast upon the Jews, Israelites, as they marched toward the promised land and wandered in the wilderness. And God sent fiery serpents, and thousands of Jews were killed with the poisonous serpents that God sent. What was this awful sin that caused God to send fiery serpents? What was this wicked, vile sin that was so bad that God sent poisonous snakes and they were dying by the thousands? What was it? Was it adultery? No. Was it homosexuality? No. Was it drunkenness? No. What was this awful sin? It was complaining about God's provision. Now I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of the conditions under which they were living. They had no houses. They lived in tents. They had no bathrooms. They had no hot and cold running water. They had no restrooms. They had no kitchens. The only food they had was manna from heaven every morning. And God said, I'm sick and tired of your complaining. Now, brother, if God is sick and tired of their complaining, when they had no houses, had no carpet, had no restrooms, had no kitchens, had no stoves, had no lavatories, had no commodes, had no cars, had no driveways, had no electricity, had no central heating system. If God sent fire serpents for that crowd, imagine how God must get sick and tired of your complaining when with all you have. I'm saying tonight that the sin of ingratitude is the sin that unsaved people commit that will send them to the hottest hell of all. And you folks that sit in judgment upon people that are doing things that you don't agree with, these visible awful sins, and well, we ought to condemn sin of any kind. But let me remind you that God says ingratitude and being unthankful is the sin that sends people to the hottest hell. Let me read another passage for you. Rather lengthy. Get this now. For this God gave them up to vile affections. Now get this. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. That's as vile and as wicked as hell itself. Men wanting each other. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which must meet. Even as God, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Get this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. And right in the middle of that, God places the sin of not being thankful. Right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. I'm saying tonight, the God in heaven who gives you the air you breathe must get sick and tired of your complaining because it's 42 degrees instead of what you wish you'd have in the springtime. God must get sick and tired of your complaining because you drive a car that's 15 years old. Well, bless God. God has given you what He knows is best for you. And the wicked sin of being ungrateful and the wicked sin of complaining is an abomination in the sight of God Almighty. It's hard for us to me to understand. We're the most blessed generation in the history of America. And yet we complain the most. We didn't have a bunch of demonstrators when I was a boy. Nobody demonstrated. We want our rights. We want our rights. If you got your rights, you'd burn in hell forever. I'm simply saying, this is the most blessed. We have the nicest houses. We drive the nicest cars. We wear the nicest clothes. We eat the best food. By the way, for example, some of you college students, I promise you that nobody in this room eats any better than Howells Anderson College students do. And some of you little penny ante college students complain about the food at Howells Anderson College. I fly on airplanes a lot, and I hear these guys living in America flying on an airplane.
getting a meal on the airplane, complaining about airplane food. Take a walk someday. Go over to Chicago to Cabrini Green. Just go over there someday and go to Cabrini Green complex, housing complex, and walk through those hallways and knock on a door or two and look inside those apartments. Brother, if you've got any gratitude to God at all, you'll never complain again about where you live. Better still, go to the Robert Taylor Homes. That's closer. That's just this side of downtown Chicago, just to the east there of Dan Ryan Expressway. Go to the Robert Taylor Homes. Just walk inside and just walk up down the hallway and see how the folks live there. And see their windows blocked up with cardboard. And see it. And then go home and thank God and shout and praise God for how good He's been to you. Better still, go to the best house in the Philippines. I mean the best house that I saw in Iloilo in the Philippines. Brother Ray was there with me. You go to the best house there. And look up on the ceiling and see lizards crawling onto the ceiling of the houses. And watch some place, go to some house, and the folks say that snakes crawl inside the house. How dare you complain? How dare us complain? Hey, folks over here, I'm going to call you down. I'm going to walk over there one of these nights, and I'm going to stand right in front of you and preach to that one couple over there. I'm sick and tired of you misbehaving. If you can't listen to me while I'm preaching, get rid of the guy. A guy that won't let you hear preaching is not your boyfriend. He's not worth having. Get rid of him. I've got some things I want to say, and God has a message for you. After you've done that, you go to the place less than 500 yards from the little church building that Steve Heidenreich has. And you'll see a little teepee-like thing, not as big, any bigger than, not any wider, in diameter than this table right here, made out of straw where people actually live. You couldn't walk five steps inside that place. You couldn't stand up inside that place. How God must be disgusted with this generation of ours. How God must be disgusted with this generation of complainers. Better than that, you go down the Lower Wacker Drive tonight. Or better still, go down there some winter night and you see those men and women down there sleeping on the concrete with cardboard trying to cover them, make them a little place to sleep. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, God's been mighty good to us. We ought to be shouting instead of pouting. Praising instead of raising Cain. How good God's been. I said, how good God's been. The smallest apartment in this room is better than the 99% of the living quarters in this world. Think of that the next time you set your thermostat. I said, think of that the next time you set your thermostat for your central heating unit. Think of that the next time you go to the washroom. Next time you take a shower, take a bath, or flush the commode. Think about 99% of the people in this world don't even have a bathroom like that. And you gripe because it's 42 degrees in April. We gripe. I know I do. Think about it the next time you turn on your air conditioner in your car. Or flip a light switch. Or turn on the water faucet. Think about the next time you put your clothes in the washer to wash them. Or the next time you crawl in a nice bed. Listen to me. Think about the next time you start your car. And in the wintertime, turn on the heater. Think about the next time you open your refrigerator door. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. You live tonight in the most blessed nation on the face of this earth. And you live in the most blessed nation in the history of mankind. God said, if people are unsaved, if they complain and aren't thankful, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. It means he waxed fat and complained. He waxed fat and didn't appreciate it. He waxed fat and griped. I thank God tonight. I know what it's like to have a wood stove. I thank God tonight. I know what it's like to chop wood. I thank God. I know what it's like to bank a stove. I thank God tonight. I know what a stovepipe is and what a grate is, what a poker is. I don't mean the kind of poker you're talking about. I thank God tonight. I know what an icebox is. I thank God. I know what I'm talking about, an icebox. I'm talking about you got an empty spot up here above where you put a big block of ice. And inside, that under that ice, is a place that looks like a refrigerator, but it's not electric. It's kept cool with the ice up above it. And it's got a little hole where when the ice melts, it goes down through a little pipe. And you put a little wash pan down there at the bottom, and that wash pan has got to be emptied every once in a while, or it'll overflow and go all over the kitchen. I thank God tonight. Every time I open a refrigerator, I can say, praise God, it's not an icebox. I thank God tonight. I know what it's like to see my mama cook on a wood stove. I'm talking about before you can cook on the stove, you don't turn a little gadget and a pilot light turns the light on. I'm talking about getting outside. I'm talking about chopping wood in the backyard when it's cold. I'm talking about coming in and building a fire with a little kindling wood and putting some paper over it or under it. I'm talking about getting the kindling wood started before you can cook. And you can't turn a knob and set it at a certain temperature. I thank God. You sit for the house. Are you wishing we could go back to that? No, I'm not. I wish you'd be thankful you don't have it. That's what I wish. But I thank God tonight. I know what it was like. I thank God tonight. I know what it's like to have an outhouse. You've never suffered. Zero. Zero. And all of a sudden you get a message. It's 40 feet outside. And there's no bathroom heater. And there's no deodorizer. And there's no flusher. And you freeze to death and go out there, and I won't tell you the rest of the story. But I thank God tonight that I was there. You know why? I don't have to gripe and complain and fuss like heathen America. I can praise God for what He's given me. I thank God tonight I know what a kerosene lamp is like. I thank God tonight I know what it's like to bathe in a number two tub. As I've told you before, we'd go out and we'd build a fire. And we have to build a fire, and then we have to put some get the rope on the well, and pull the rope, and put the bucket down in the water in the well, and then pull the bucket up, and then put that bucket in a container, and then we had to chop some wood. Listen to me back here. We had to chop some wood, and then we had to build a fire, and we had to use some paper and some kindling wood. Sometimes pour a little kerosene or gasoline over it. We didn't have city plan commissions in those days. And then we had to heat the fire. And then we had to let the fire heat the water. And then we had a number two tub about like that and poured the hot water in the number two tub and then went out in the well and drew some more water to make the hot water less hot. Make it right to bathe in. And then Daddy would get inside that thing to bathe. And by the way, we bathed once a week. I'm not kidding. Now, sometimes we didn't need it, but we bathe once a week. I shower every morning of my life. But we bathe once a week. Daddy would get in that thing. He had a whole week's dirt on him. And then he got through. Mama'd get in that thing. And she had a week's dirt on her.
And then when he got through, Earlene would get in that thing, and she had 2 or 3 weeks dirt on her. And then I'd get in the thing. I'd look at that water, look at my skin, and I'd say, I believe my skin's cleaner than that water is. I'd sit down, and brother, when you sit down, number two tub, this is the way you do it. Like that. We didn't have wash rags. We had old shirts. And then we didn't have ivory or camé for smoother skin. We had soap that was made at hog killing time. And his block. We'd take it and shave it a little bit and put it on there and we'd wash ourselves sitting in a number two tub. Now, I'm not suggesting we go back to that, but I thank God I had it, because every time I get in that shower, I praise God for how good He's been to me. No wonder God's disgusted with America. No wonder America's going to answer to God. The most blessed nation. Boy, it's more fun to preach sitting down than standing up. If I'd known it felt this good, I wouldn't have been running all of His platform all this time. No wonder God's disgusted with America. All the blessings we have. Yet the honest truth is, ungrateful complainers. I thank God I knew what it's like to stand in the soup line. I mean the old-fashioned soup line. I mean, stand in a line with a bowl in my hand, and my daddy and I in that line with a big line of people, probably 200 or 300 people in front of us that hadn't had anything to eat. I've stood in that line with my daddy to get one little bowl of soup. Didn't have anything solid in it, just liquid. One little thin bowl of thin soup. I thank God, because now, brother, I sit down at the table. I don't gripe because the food's not what I think it ought to be. I thank God I know what it's like to stand in line for 2 or 3 hours to wait for one can of hash. And back in the Depression days. I thank God I know what it's like to have a birthday with no present. Be a little boy and have a birthday with no birthday present. I thank God I know what it's like to go to bed early because we didn't have any food to eat for supper. I thank God I know what it's like to go to bed early because we didn't have any heat to warm the house with when the sun would set. I thank God I know what it's like. Our recreation was throwing horseshoes. I don't mean the kind that they make. I mean the kind that the horses get rid of. I'm talking about the shoes off of horses. I thank God that our toys were old worn out tires we pushed down the street. I thank God for our fun we pitch washers. And I want to praise my God tonight. I want to praise His wonderful name. I didn't grow up in that Nintendo age. These little guys, they scare me jumping across that screen like that. I'm not suggesting we go back to pitching washers. I'm suggesting we praise God because we don't have to. Thank God tonight. We played checkers with pop bottle caps. I thank God I know what it is to crank a car. You say, what is it to crank a car? You had a little piece of metal thing, went like this, and up like this, and over like this. To start the car, you didn't stick the key in the ignition and turn it to the right with the car put in park. You got out of the car, stuck that crank in the front of the car, right down underneath the grill there, and you'd turn it like that. And brother, if you didn't turn it hard enough, that thing, you start going backwards. Man, I've been hitting the jaw with those things. I thank God I know what it's like to push the car to start it. We had an old car we had to push off, had to push it downhill to start it. If it didn't start, we had to push it uphill so we could push it downhill again to start the car. You say, you feeling sorry for yourself? No, I'm feeling sorry for you folks that never got this, so you can't appreciate what you have now. I thank God tonight. I know what it's like just to see clothes washed in a black wash pot. I thank God tonight. I know what a churn is. And a well pump. And a slop jar. and a spark in a car, and a throttle in a car, and a choke in a car. And I thank God I know what an inner tube is. Thank God I know what a flat iron is. The other day we were having a meeting with some of our staff about pastor school. We're trying to think out some things to give. Ed Lupino was there and Ray Young were there. It wasn't a couple of little squirts on even shave. And I said, why don't we have some things printed, like a bookmark or a blotter? And Nitty and Ray said, blotter? What's a blotter? You old people are... You ain't got no old people up here. A blotter. They didn't know what a blotter was. I don't think they're saved. How can they know? The Bible says my sins are blotted out. I thank God tonight I know what a inner tube is. And a boot and a tire. And curling ironers. And stove pipes. And the WPA. Paper stuffed in windows. Rumble seat. Coal oil. Speed limit 40 miles an hour. One food per meal. Gallon jar lids were our plates. Jelly jars were our glasses. When you got in the car, your heater was to wrap yourself in a quilt. Or a blanket. Thank God I know what a party line is. Earplugs for radios. Thank God I remember what patriotism is. I thank God I knew what America can be like and used to be like. Thank God I lived in a world where no one knew a queer. And if a queer, we found one, he wouldn't have come out of the closet. We'd have gone in the closet to get him. Thank God I lived in a world when even the word D-A-R-N could not be used in the media. Thank God I lived in a world where we didn't even know a lady who owned a pair of shorts or a pair of pants. Where bathing suits came down to the knees. Swimming suits, I'm sorry. I was preaching against mixed bathing. We used to call that mixed bathing. Mike Haynes didn't know what I was talking about. He said, mixed bathing? He said, man, I guess I maybe have done it, but I won't do it. I'm talking about mixed swimming for you young whippersnappers. You don't know what blotters are. I thank God I grew up in a day when Carson, Perry, and Scott required their employees to go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I thank God I grew up in a day when Bible was read every day in the school to start the day off. And God's blessings were asked for the school teacher to start the day in the public schools. I thank God I know what milking a cow is. And brother, you ain't never been injured. Till you get just about through milking that cow and she kicks that bucket over and swishes that tail in your face. You poor city slickers don't know anything. It's hard to preach to you. It's a dumb. Thank God I know what it means to swap the hogs and gather eggs. Let me tell you something, brother or sister. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me back yonder. A couple talking. Listen to me. Do you know that dogs tonight have it better than people did 50 years ago? Dogs. I'm talking about Rover. Special diet. Special diet. We gave them the scraps after we got through eating all we could. Special diet. How many vitamins on the can? Vitamin A, vitamin B. We gave them vitamin bones. Coats. I saw it advertised in a catalog, coats for dogs. I saw a fur coat. Look at that, they've already got one. A fur coat. dogs. Doctor, I'm taking my dog to the doctor. The only veterinarians we knew were the veterinarians of the World War II. Doctor, take your stupid dog to the doctor. Who ever heard of that? We didn't go to the doctor when I was a kid. Funeral services. Yeah. You can go to churches, so-called churches in Chicago, where they have a service once a year to sprinkle your dog and bless your dog. I'm not kidding. And the dog's the most spiritual folks that go to that church over there. That church is going to the dogs. Dogs. Funeral service. I saw in a paper, I forgot where I was. Young folks, listen to me over here. I saw in a paper, I was in the city not long ago preaching. And these little deals where somebody's been dead for a year. And it says, Grandma, we still love you. And usually it says something like, on your first anniversary in heaven. Had a picture of a dog. I'm talking about a Cocker Spaniel dog. Had his picture there. Rover, we miss you on your first anniversary in heaven. We've had some dogs at our house. This house loves them. I loved them. I hate them. I don't hate them. I just don't like them. You know how old-fashioned I am? I can recall back in the early days where women kissed their husbands instead of their dogs.